Good evening, Potter's Foursquare Church. Welcome to our Wednesday evening Bible study. We are in the book of Matthew, going through the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight we're going to be talking about treasures in heaven. Just a programming note, for those of you listening to this sermon, Paul and I had an idea to do some short devotions that speak really to the times that which we live, going through this coronavirus shutdown. There's a tab in the website that you can access. There's a should be a couple of devotions in there in the next couple days. And just as the Lord speaks, we're going to update and put those on so that you will have access to them. They're not very long. They're, you know, 5-10 minutes, just a short devotional. So we hope that you invest the time to sit. I think that they, you know, the sermons are, you know, obviously we're in the book of Matthew on Wednesdays and studying the Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings, and we're confined to whatever the text reads, and I'm trying to relate it to where we are today with things, but these devotions really speak to where we are, and I think that it's a great help for you, especially if you find yourself sort of frustrated from not being in fellowship. You are definitely not alone. I've been praying for you guys. I know this is tough, but you're tough. You are in a church that preaches that you should be tough, that you should be self-sufficient in the Word, and so I pray that these studies are helping you. They're helping me, so that's a good thing. So tonight I want to talk about treasures in heaven, and we're in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. And as we go there, I just want to note that, you know, Matthew talks about this idea of the love of money and serving two masters, and you know, he spoke these words as part of the Sermon on the Mount, and in that he says that, you know, it's a fool who stores up treasure on earth. And tonight I really want to talk about how we, you know, I know what it is to store up treasures in heaven. What I want to teach you is how to store up treasures in heaven faithfully. We got the earth part down, right? We do that all the time. We find ourselves building things here right now during this shutdown. I've had the opportunity, Tam and I have had the opportunity to hire some of the guys at GSI that were not, you know, we couldn't pay them. We didn't have any work. And we've been doing construction around here. And we've been, you know, we've been building. And that's a great thing. And I'm storing up treasures on earth with my new patio. It is a earthbound treasure. I'm not taking my patio with me or my patio set, unfortunately. Well, not even unfortunately. I'm sure the table that we sit at the great feast is going to be awesome. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be beautiful. Jesus talks about the obstacle that prevents us from this wise investment of the heart. He says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also, right? And we understand that if our hearts are captivated on Jesus, that it's clear that we're not going to be serving two masters. The problem is that when we have a divided heart or a bifurcated heart, right? So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, verse 24 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be in full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Father, we pray that you add blessing to your word. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. So let's talk a little bit about just some observations I have. So this treasure storage, right? There's a location, and it's not on earth. Why? Because earth is subject to decay, and it's subject to thieves, right? We can have those things taken from us. It was maybe 2-3 months ago, I had My truck parked in front of my home, and somebody broke in my truck and took my backpack with my computer in there. And I was so angry. I was so angry that somebody would steal in my home. And I got a good buddy of mine had his truck broken into and all his motorcycle equipment was taken. And that computer was very valuable to me, right? But the lesson here, and I'm sure that motorcycle equipment was an investment as well. However, the lesson here is that those are treasures on earth and they are subject to people stealing them. Whereas the treasures in heaven, they're not, right? They should be stored in heaven because they're eternal and they're safe. The things that we do for God, the treasures that we store up, not only are they covered, which, you know, God is the greatest insurance company ever, but they're eternal. They last forever, right? So the second thing here is our heart is connected to our treasure. And if our treasure is stored on earth, then our heart's going to be tethered to the earth and, you know, or the flesh. And subsequently, if our treasure is stored in heaven, our heart's going to be tethered to that which is eternal. And Jesus told us to store up your treasures in heaven. And he linked his command to the desire of our heart, because he said, if you store up your treasures in heaven, then your heart will be there as well, because where your treasure is, your heart's there. They're linked, right? Then he says, the eyes, are the window to the condition of our soul. The Message version of verse 22 and 23, I think, is helpful. It's a little confusing to me in the NIV. And so whenever I get in this problem, I'm very basic. I go to the Message version, which kind of helps me understand better what the text means. And verse 22 and 23 in the Message version reads, your eyes are the windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body will be filled up with light. But if you live squintily eyed in greed and in distrust, your body is a dark cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what dark life you will have. So this earthly storage is short-sighted, it's dark, it's dim, it's gloomy, it has an end, it has no purpose, it's good for nothing, right? It doesn't matter what we build. I like my home. My wife and I do a great job in building our home and adding to it and making it ours, but it's going to burn. And every day I pull up, I realize that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a day coming when I'm going to leave this and I'm not going to be worried who's going to cut the grass or water the plants. It is subject to death and decay and thievery, right? The two treasures are our masters. And you either are serving God, which is treasure in heaven, or you're serving money, which is treasure on earth. And serving both is a dead end, literally. If you're trying to balance both of these things, if you're trying to spin both of these yo-yos, you're going to be a mess, right? God is a jealous God, and he's not going to tolerate us engaging in trying to fulfill all the things in our life in investing here without investing in heaven. So in interpretation, we're going to really talk about what the true treasure is, because we are to treasure the Lord Jesus most of all. That is our treasure. When Jesus is our treasure, you know, we're going to commit all of our resources to him. We're going to commit our money, our time, our talent to his work in this world. I mean, that's just what we're going to do. It's our time, our talent, our treasure, our testimony. All of that's going to belong to the Lord. That is how you invest in heaven. Our motivation for what we do is important, obviously. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 speaks to that. But Paul encourages servants that God has this eternal reward for those who are motivated to serve Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. I think we can't forget that, right? So we know what the treasure is, and the question that I have is then becomes, how do we store this treasure? When we live sacrificially for Jesus and for his purpose, we serve him by serving the body of Christ, and we store up treasures in heaven. Even seemingly small acts of service, they don't go unnoticed by the Lord. If anyone gives even a cold cup of water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you that that person will certainly not lose their reward. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Some with more visible gifts, right? Such as teaching and singing and playing musical instruments and, you know, that they might be tempted to use their gift for their own glory. And that's not what God wants us to do. Those who use their talents or spiritual gifts, if they use them for men, they're really coveting what God has blessed them with, and that's not what God has. The applause of men is the extent of being a Pharisee, right? You get your reward. Why should we work for worldly approval when we can have so much more in heaven, right? So how we serve. So the master is everything that enslaves us. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. It's alcohol, it's lust, it's money, it's all the masters of, of the people. And we see that, especially in this time nowadays. We see people that are completely captivated by just trying to find something to take the edge off, trying to find something to take the pain away. In Jesus's warning, we can't serve two masters. He specifies mammon or wealth. In other translations, it's a master that is in opposition to God. And Jesus, he calls us to abandon all other masters. He called Matthew from the tax collector's booth. Matthew obeyed and walked away from this extravagant wealth that he was getting from these dirty deals. And Jesus called Peter and James and John from the fishing docks, right? No longer would they fish for fish. They were going to fish for men. And to obey Jesus, this call, we had to leave behind everything that we know and that we've been working for. Jesus called Paul as a successful Pharisee with the words, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my namesake," Acts chapter 9:16. Those words will never make it into the mass market ad campaign of Christianity, right? You don't go to the summer harvest and you're trying to get people saved and, hey, join the Jesus Club because you're going to suffer and he's going to show you how much you need to suffer for his namesake. We all know that going in, but it's certainly not something that draws us. We must forsake everything, no matter what the cost. And that's what Matthew says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 39. So how do we apply this tonight? Well, this is really a call. This scripture is really a call to choose this day who you're going to serve. And that is my first point of application. The rich young man loved his money more than God. And in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 30, a fact that, that Jesus incisively pointed out that the issue with the young man is that he was rich and that he had this treasure, and the riches, that it's not the path that Christ had for him. In fact, what Jesus was really saying was, look, I'm calling you away from that. I'm calling you away from this pursuit of this treasure that you have. And going back to what we talked about before, this rich young ruler, his soul was tethered to the treasure of this earth, right? And I know a lot of people read this verse and like, oh, well, the rich man could have walked away. You know what? If you don't know what it's like to be wealthy, then you don't know the depth of this, the meaning of this study. You don't know the depth of the rich young ruler, because he was wealthy beyond imagination, right? And to give that up, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. And I think people look at it and go, oh, yeah, I'd walk away from it. Until you were put in that situation, you may act differently. So Jesus told the man to sell his possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, he says, and follow me. And the young man left Jesus. Why? Because he was very rich. He was extremely wealthy. He chose the world's treasure, and in doing so, he laid up treasure on this earth and not in heaven. And he was unwilling to make Jesus his treasure. And that's what happens sometimes. We see people that you know, engage in this mindset of, you know, trying to serve their relationship with God and their relationship with others, and it just never works out, right? It never works out. God, he's a jealous God. He wants all of you. He wants all of you now, and he doesn't want to share you. And once we're connected with God, once we're tethered with those heavenly things, then we can engage in certain things of this world, because we got to live in this world, right? But the mistake that we make is just trying to live this double life, and that's never going to work. So number two, the treasures of Jesus is the true value, right? The treasures that await the child of God outweigh any trouble or inconvenience or persecution that we may face. We can serve the Lord wholeheartedly, knowing that God is the one keeping the score, right? And he's the one that has the rewards. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And the third thing is this misery of serving two masters. It's not good at all, right? We can serve two masters. You can do it, but you're going to end up hating one or loving the other. And then that's a natural thing. You're going to end up wanting to be faithful to one and unfaithful to another. That's our heart, you know, can only handle so much. And that's exactly what happens. The Lord is headed in one direction, and our flesh in this world is headed in another, and a choice must be made. And if we attempt to serve two masters, we will have divided loyalties. And guys, that's what we see. It's prevalent in the church. It's prevalent in our church, where we have two, you know, people have these two directions that they can go, and they're trying to make everybody happy. They're trying to make the Lord happy, the church happy, their kids happy, and they're trying to engage in everything. And I've told you for years, if you're not saying no to things, then you're not saying yes to Jesus. He has to captivate our soul. He has to be the one that we are just overwhelmed with, right? Not the things of this world, not the treasure of this world. Father God, I pray for those listening tonight, God, that you would bless them, that you would open their eyes to see that the treasure that we work so diligently for, Lord, needs to be stored in heaven, and that's when we do acts of love and mercy to others. Father, I pray that as we are busy doing that, that God, you would give us that assurance that not only is our treasure safe in heaven, but it's ready to be rewarded. And God, that is the blessing that we have following you. So Lord, I pray for those tonight that have been reminded of something, God, and that they need to look away from the treasure of this world and engage themselves and focus in on the treasure that comes from heaven and that is stored there, that belongs there, that is eternal there. And I pray this in Jesus' name. If you are listening online and you stumbled upon this sermon and you want to know Jesus, it's really simple. The Bible says you need to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you believe that he died and rose again for you to take away your sin debt, you can be saved. And if you pray that prayer today, please call us and let us know. Our number is on the website. The decision that you've made, we want to rejoice with you. And I thank you for your time that you've given tonight. I know it'll be soon, and we'll be meeting together and worshiping together and praying for one another. Church, he has shown you what is good and what the Lord requires of you, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. God bless you.